I'm in your hands this morning. Let this word, Lord, that you laid upon my heart be engraved into every heart present here today. And let your fire come down today. A fire of passion, your fire of love and purification. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to speak to you about to be ignited by the fire. Now, there's so many things we can say about a fire. It's so amazing. Have you ever seen a kid with a fire? You can't keep them away. However, the fire is hot. And sometimes they burn, and you tell them 10 times to get away. They cannot stay away from a fire. And I think we've got something to learn there. And I want to kick off from there to say that, you know, there's two. There's the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Fire. And it's almost two entities, but it's the same. And you can't separate the Holy Spirit from its fire. But we tend to do that. We tend to sit around the fire of God, we say, in church on a Sunday. And what is one of the things when you were sitting at a fire the whole night? When you get home and somebody wasn't close to a fire, you smell of it. You smell of it. And we get it right to be at the fire of God, but we don't smell like it. And the fire is also a wonderful picture of the work of the Holy Spirit. And the fire, there's three ways of the fire of God. And the first one is God's presence. It brings God's presence. It brings His passion. And then, of course, cleansing and purity. You know, our initial baptism of the Holy Spirit or receiving the Holy Spirit is very important, especially with baptism of the water. And we receive the day we give our lives to Jesus. But we need that fresh, fiery baptism in our life. We can't operate without it. And I've done it for a very long time. And in John 3:5, Jesus answered and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." You see, just as the fire dwells in the Spirit dwells in the fire, and the Spirit is in God. And God is also that consuming fire. And we read that in Hebrews 12:29. God is a consuming fire. And you know, from the very beginning of the Bible, God manifests Himself through the images of fire many times. And also in the New Testament, Jesus birthed the church in fire. And that's why the fire must be part of the children of God. Otherwise, we cannot represent God accurately. We can't. That's why the world is confused. The world is confused looking at Christians today. You know, people say, "I'm a Christian," and they see them go to church, but when they're at work, when they speak to the domestics, when they're at the petrol garage filling up, or somebody turning in front of them somewhere, they don't act like that. And the fire of God communicates the power and the presence of God. We need to understand that. So where the fire of God is, the presence of God is there, and the power. We read in Deuteronomy 4:24, "For the Lord our God is a consuming fire." He's a jealous God. In Genesis 15, we read there where God made a new covenant with Abraham. He appeared as a smoking oven and a burning torch. In Exodus 3:2, the Lord appeared to Moses in the flame of fire in a bush. And this bush was burning, but the fire yet didn't consume the bush. When the law was given to Moses, Mount Sinai was completely covered in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it as a fire in Exodus 19. And then we see in the book of Daniel, we see there's a fourth man walking in the midst of the fire. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. You see, also Daniel saw a vision of what's coming. He saw this vision. He said his garment was white as snow, and the hair of the head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame. It wills a burning fire, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. You see, in many of these manifestations of the presence of God, there was also sometimes a preparation that people had to do. And the reason for that is because the consuming fire of God destroys and consumes everything that is not holy. Abraham believed. Moses took off his shoes. The Israelites applied the blood, then sanctified and washed themselves at Sinai. the disciples prayed and waited in the upper room. In Matthew 3:11, in the Passion Translation, it says, "Those who repent, I baptize with water. But there is coming a man after me who is more powerful than I am. In fact, I'm not even worthy enough to pick up his sandals. He will submerge you into union with the Spirit of holiness and with raging fire." And in Luke 3:16, John answered all this saying, "I indeed baptize with water, but he who is mightier that comes, I am not even worth of the to tie the thongs of his sandals. I'm not worthy. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." So what he's telling is that Jesus is coming with a fiery fire of purification and to refine us. And that you can also go and read in Malachi 3 verse 1 to 3. I'm not going to read all the scriptures. See, there's two things that Jesus speaks about here. He says, baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with the fire. So it's two things that happen. You know, and sometimes we need to listen carefully, the Holy Spirit and fire, because sometimes I've been one of those people that, oh man, I just sensed the Holy Spirit this morning. I was goosebumps. And then I thought while I was, but listen, where do you get goosebumps? Is it an ice cold weather or near a fire? You see, and we should never try and experience the Holy Spirit with our emotions. He works differently with each and every person. We can see it throughout the Bible. The Holy Spirit, the fire of God, didn't work the same with each and every one. And that's why when the 120 was in the upper room, each one received the tongue of fire. So if everybody was the same, God would just said fire to everyone. No, each one received his own tongue of fire. And I think the next scripture will lay the foundation of this morning's message. And that's in Luke 12, verse 49 to 51. And the Message Bible describes it so nicely. It says, "I've come," this is Jesus speaking, "to start a fire on this earth. How I wish it were blazing right now. I've come to change everything, turn everything right side up. How I long for it to be finished." You see, what he's speaking about here is bringing division between good and evil, between light and darkness. You see, this fire of Jesus is one of change and bringing the presence of God into this world. We need to understand when the fire comes in, wherever the fire of God is casted out, things are not the same there where the presence of God is. Because the presence of God brings in the supernatural things that happens. That sometimes people say, but you are crazy. That's a crazy church when supernatural things are happening. But yet, have you seen them at a rave club? The things they are prepared to do. Not for God. You see, and it further goes on in Luke 12 from 52 to and 53. It says, now Jesus speaks. He said, "Do you think I came to smooth things over and make everything nice? Not so. I've come to disrupt and confront. From now on, when you find five in the house, it will be three against two and two against three, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against bride and bride against mother-in-law." You see, Jesus said, "I never came to give you only a peaceful religion, a comfortable religion or comfort zone." He never said it's going to be easy. Jesus came to bring the sword, to bring division. And what? To separate the people that stands for him and those that stands against him. You see, and Jesus came to set people at variation of each other. And that's why you will see where father and son will be against each other, because the son will serve God and the father not. And there will be division brought between them. And this is what fires do. Fire separates the calf from the grain. In Matthew 3:12, we read, and in the easy read version of English version, "He will come ready to clean the grain. He will separate the good grain from the straw, and he will put the good parts into the barn. Then he will burn the useless parts with a fire that cannot be stopped." You see, and that is very uncomfortable sometimes when the fire burns, because it brings a sudden change and it purifies with an element of pain and discomfort. And you can see a fire is just burning as long as there's useless things to burn. When there's nothing, when there's no fuel, and that's the fuel of the fire of God, is sometimes the things that's worthless in our lives that we see as so important. The fire of the Spirit brings that sudden change. Therefore, when you and me are touched by the torch of God, you cannot be the same anymore. And I've seen it in my life and other Christians, they give their lives, but nothing changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17, then when you receive Christ, you know, all the old things will pass, everything will be, you don't see that. You sometimes even see that in some people, but you don't see any power in when they speak. Because that's what the fire does. The power brings, it empowers you and it prepares you for your ministry. Jesus said he never came to entertain the status quo, but he brought his fire of change. You see, a fire that will disrupt, a fire that will turn this world upside down and right side up, a fire in its purest fiery form, a fire in the purest form of light representing God himself, a fire that will not judge, but also not leave you, a fire that refines you, a fire that will purge you, a fire that will purify and burn the image of Jesus Christ in you so that you will have a desire only to serve God. You see, this is what, this amper soos vanilla, when they mark the cattle, almost that mark that you get within your heart. You see, this is the baptism that Jesus promised. A fire that will warm the one and discomfort the other one. Why does people always, when you speak about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and even baptism with water, there's so many quarrels and people are angry. Why? The discomfort in your heart, the offense that we have in our heart is because there's something that needs to be burned and consumed in our life. You see, a fire that will divide, bringing three against two, a fire that will bring change, someone from weak and timid to bold and courageous. People will ask after the fire. You've been baptized with the fire. People will ask, who's this man? Can it be? From a Peter to a rock. From somebody that denied Jesus to someone that was crucified upside down for the same Jesus. From being a Saul, persecuting Christians, to a Paul, beaten and bound in chains in prison for the same Jesus he persecuted. You see, the baptism of fire will do three things in our lives. Firstly, it will burn a desire in you and will burn to a desire to be in the presence of God. You see, God never leaves our presence. We are the ones that leaves the covering. We are the ones that's leaving him and his power. Firstly, it will burn in the presence of God. Second thing, the Father, the Holy Spirit burns into us a passion for God. Do we still have that passion? Or are we just surviving as Christians? The third thing is it will burn into our lives purity, where sin will have no more a hold onto your life anymore. Sin will lose its attraction on you, and Satan will lose its grip on you. That's what the fire does. You see, the fire will burn all that temptations in your life. That fire will, as we see in the Old Testament, God appears as a pillar of a cloud in the day and a pillar of fire at night. And that pillar we need in night times of our lives, that dark times in our life, we need the fire of God. We need that radiant light that the fire gives. In number 9, it says, as long as the cloud was above the tabernacle, the sons and daughters of Israel did not move. They stayed in camp. They moved when the cloud moved. You see, God's presence does the same for us. And we need to be constantly aware of his presence, of his fire in our life. It's we that separates ourselves from the presence of God. And sometimes we found ourselves in troubled times because we allow the fleshly desires. In this desert times, this dark times, we allow the fleshy things in our desires in our life to lead us and take us, as we think, to a better place. But it takes us away from the presence of God, and we're not led by the Spirit and the fire of God. You see, the baptism of the fire will purify your motives It will deal with all our own agendas. Man, we've got so much agendas when it comes to church, when it comes to outreach. There's so much excuses. There's just so much I need to do. I think I've told you before what busy stands for. Bound under Satan's yoke. That's what busy means. You see, sometimes we say, but you know, I trust my heart. Please don't. Because Jeremiah 17 says, clear the heart of man is deceitful above all things. Never trust your heart. We need God's fire to purify our hearts, to purify that motives, and to burn and smolder worthless things in our life. That's what the fire does. And that's what the fire of God wants to do this morning. So that the only thing that's left in your life is the voice of God. You can't hear other voices anymore. You know, maybe you feel like a Joseph today. You know you are destined for the palace. All of us. You know what you're destined for. You know your purpose. But you found yourself in this dark pit today. You found yourself at this place of hopelessness, almost imprisoned. You don't know where to go of all this oppressions and these things of life that's just pressing down, this heaviness that's on me. Lord, I can't get out there. The good news is, remember, you can see it throughout the Bible, that in this presence, in this prison, in this desert times, this times of despair and hopelessness is where God is forming your character. It's at that place where God is busy cutting away what doesn't belong to Him and burn away. Remember, it was in the desert for 40 days where Jesus was formed and prepared and equipped for His ministry. Only on the 40th day, after God was finished, He was released into His ministry. God says this morning, my sons and daughters, I am the one that have placed you where you are. I am the potter and you are the clay. I want to purify, to purge you with my fire so that you will be ready and you will be equipped for my calling and my purpose on your life. But how would we know we are in the will of God? Easy. Stay close to the fire. Stay close to the fire. And remember in the Old Testament what happened is the priests, part of the things they had to do of their daily task was to make sure there's fuel on the fire. God sends the fire the first time. It's a one-time thing. And He burns the fire and they had to keep it alive. The only way we can keep it alive is to stay close to the fire. You see, the Israelites stayed in God's presence. Doesn't matter if they were there a day, a month, or a year. They stayed there where they were sure of the presence of God. You see, evidence of the baptism with the Holy Spirit, we read in Acts 2:4 in the Easy Translation, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different languages. You see, when we are baptized with the fire, we become sure of God's presence in our life. There will be something that you feel. It's not always a burning excitement, but there is something in your life that changed that you know that you know that you know. In Acts 8, we read that Philip traveled to the Samaritan city, where he preached to them the wonderful news of the Anointed One. And then verse 8, it says there, Acts 8:6, the crowds were eager to receive Philip's message and were persuaded by the many miracles and wonders he performed, meaning they received Christ and were reborn, but they weren't yet baptized with the Holy Spirit. Because we read in Acts 15 that when the apostles just heard that the Samaritans has accepted Jesus' message of life, they sent Peter and John to pray over them so they might receive the Holy Spirit. And here it comes in verse 16, for they had only been baptized in the name of Jesus and were not yet have the Holy Spirit fallen on them. And that's when Peter and them came and they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And then we see the same pattern in Acts 10 from verse 44, where while Peter was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on those who heard the message. Who was this people who heard it? Verse 5 says, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. Can you see the power of the fire of God, the baptism? They were Gentiles, not saved, but the fire of God came upon them. You see, it's the same with Paul. Paul had a one time, he was that immediate when he saw the light. He was saved and received the Spirit of God. Jesus never have when he was baptized. Why don't you read that Jesus, that you don't read that he received the fire? Why? Because he was sinless. There was nothing worthless and useless in his life that need to be burned away. And then 46 says, for they heard them. This is now the circumcised, the saved ones. For they heard them speaking in supernaturally given languages and passionately praising God. You see, in Acts 19:4, Paul said, John's baptism was for those who were turning from their sins. And he taught you to believe in and follow the one who was coming after him, Jesus, the anointed one. And when they understood this, they were baptized into the authority of Jesus, the anointed one. He said, this is what God wants to do to you. Maybe you sit here, and yes, you are a child of God. You've got the Holy Spirit within you, because that's a one working the day you accept Christ. You have the Spirit comes alive in you. But have it been ignited in your heart that the fire burns? You need that. You see, Acts 19:6, and when Paul laid hands on each of the 12, the Holy Spirit manifested, and they immediately spoke in tongues and prophesied. So it's clear when somebody is baptized with the Holy Spirit of fire, there's something, there's evidence. And every time we can read, it was prophesying or speaking in tongues. So when God fills you up, something needs to come out. You cannot contain it. You will never be able to contain it. You are baptized with the fire of God. There's no ways that you will be able to keep that inside of you. It will just come. And you'll speak in tongues. You'll worship. It will be thanksgiving. Sometimes we experience snaaksegoed. Funny things happen. I've seen in churches. But there's also some that is just relying on the actions and putting a lot of emphasis on that. And we need to be careful. You see, but in contrast, if we're not baptized with the Holy Spirit, something else will come out. Even as a Christian, die klaagliedere van Jeremia. Negativity, complaints, fear, anger. Is that still part of your life? Because it needs to be consumed by the fire of God. Because that's what's coming out. Because the fire has not yet been received. You see, what God wants, He wants to fill us with the Spirit of peace and joy and His righteousness. Because the more that I'm filled up by the Holy Spirit, the less the world can fill anything into me. The less the world can fill me up, the more. You see, the more time I spend with Jesus at His feet, the less time the world have to distract me. But see, if we don't have the fire, it is so easy to run cold. Because we come to church, there's an anointing, there's a fire burning, the worship team is on fire for God, and you receive it, but you want it before you get home. The fire swindled. You see, the fire of the Spirit wants to come and consume anything that resembles darkness. Because that it cannot sit on you anymore. Have you ever seen flies sitting on a hot plate? No, they can't. You see, furthermore, darkness are consumed by the blazing light of God's fire. When you are in darkness battling right now, just allow God today to send His fire on you. You see, sometimes it's so easy. It is just the decision that I have to make. It's like sometimes when I preach and a little bit more as evangelist, it's so tough for people to come forward and accept this gift of salvation for free. And then baptism of the Spirit, it's for free. It's giving you power. It's giving you authority that Jesus had. But we say no thanks. We want to do the calling, the job that God given us without the tools. You see, the fire of God will give you the tools to operate in your ministry. And you will see a change in your ministry. You will see a change in this church when the fire of God has been caused. I don't see everybody sitting here has not received it. You see, example, Paul said, Christ is the anointed one that I may live a life filled with the Holy Spirit and fire. Man, and he was an educated man. He was a Pharisee. He was very high up in the law. He was he was a soldier in the Roman army. He had his own business making tents, a tent maker. He was a very, very clever man, a lot of knowledge. But he saw knowledge is nothing What he needed is Jesus Christ and the fire of the Holy Spirit. You see, because Jesus promised in Act 1:5, he says, John baptized people with water, but in a few days from now, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that's the upper room experience. Are you ready this morning for the fire of God? Are you ready? Can I get a yeah and an amen? You see, the consuming fire of the Spirit can either be a destructive one, devouring, or one that's purifying. Which one are you this morning? It depends on your identity this morning. It will depend on your identity when the fire comes. Is it going to devour you or purify you? God wants all of us to be baptized with fire so that we can be purified. Why? For when the bridegroom Jesus comes back. You see, the fire of God, his word searches in our hearts daily, revealing darkness and sin in our lives. I mean, in my own life, I mean, I knew, I was convicted, I knew what I've done now was wrong, but I still did it because of the lack of the fire of the Holy Spirit in my life. You see, in Malachi 3:2, it's also referring to the return of Jesus, referring to the spiritual cleansing. It says here already, hundreds of years before Jesus came, behold, he is coming. That's Jesus, said the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He's coming to purify us. You see, God's fire doesn't want to reveal unclean things and unwanted things and sin in your life this morning so that you can feel miserable. No. God wants to reveal that so that you can see why your life is so miserable. And that's what I've seen in my own life. You see, and he's standing ready to free you this morning and to apply the remedy of his fire on you this morning. You see, his fire purifies. You see, when bacteria gets into water, how do you get rid of it? You give it intense heat and you boil that water. And this is what the Holy Spirit wants to do this morning. Get rid of that bacteria, spiritual bacteria we got in our lives. Then, important, the fire of God is a manifestation of his love. And that's what it is. I mean, if you take the fivefold ministry, the apostle, the prophet, and all of them, the most important thing is the love of Christ. Love, the love. He's both the consuming fire and the perfect love. And it says in 1 John 4:18, it says there, and for his perfect love drives out all fear. There's no fear in love, for his perfect love drives out all fear. So he's both consuming fire and perfect love. You see, and when we receive the baptism, we allow him to consume all these things that are opposing God. You see, sin in your life, it's not what he's focusing on, but it's opposing everything God is standing for. It's opposing everything, every plan that God has got for your life. So God wants to come and ignite the fire within us this morning, setting our hearts ablaze. Hey, isn't that amazing to set your heart ablaze? I try to imagine what it must look like in the spiritual. For his fire will drive us just closer. This is what the fire does. The fire of Satan, the fire that will be in hell, you will try to get away from it. You will try to run away from it. But God's fire will draw you closer and closer into an intimate relationship with him. You see, he wants us to have a desire for the fire that expresses his love burning inside of us, consuming our hearts and consuming our souls. Uitverkoop aan Jesus. He said, it's almost a love letter God gives us this morning in the songs of Psalm 8 verse 6. Fasten me upon your heart as a seal of fire forevermore. This living, consuming flame will see you as my prisoner of love. What an amazing prisoner to be a prisoner in God's love. My passion is stronger than the chains of death and the grave, all consuming as the very flashes of fire from the burning heart of God. Place this fierce, unrelenting fire over your entire being. You see, God is love, and he's the flame of his love is eternal. There's a book that was written in 1678 with the title, The Pilgrim's Progress. And what happened here, this interpreter took a Christian, when they were where this pilgrim was, they took this Christian to a wall that was burning. That was a wall that was burning with fire the whole time. And there was somebody standing at a well taking water and casting and throwing buckets of water onto this fire. But every time that he adds water on the fire, it just burned higher and hotter. And then the pilgrim took this Christian behind the wall. And behind the wall, there was another man standing with oils of oil. And every time that man throws water, he threw oil on it. And that's almost our life this morning. Does the enemy have the power this morning over our lives to extinguish the fire? No. If you've got the burning desire in your heart, when you're baptized with the Spirit, nobody can quench that fire. Yes, that fire can not, it will never burn out, but it can go weak and it can go almost loses its glow. Nothing can quench the fire of God. The reason was, at the back of the wall, there's the Holy Spirit in your life. In the background, just throwing canisters of oil, just extinguishing this fire in your life. But you know what? God has created us in His image. That means we make the decision. God will never make a decision for you. He will not force to be baptized with the Spirit. He will never force it on you. It's your decision. So is your heart on fire for God this morning? Have you had your mountaintop experience where you at a camp or somewhere and you just had that burning passion almost reignited by God, by fire, and you just feel it. That's this presence of God is unfolding you. I mean, all you can do is speak Jesus and sing hymns and song. Have it happened to you? And your heart was so full of love and joy, a burning passion that you couldn't contain it. It just burst out of you. You just, anything. I remember myself, anything that moved, it could be a cat or a piece of paper, blew over. I wanted to stop and save everything that moved. And that encounter with God made me hungry and thirsty for Him. And that's all I wanted to do. And then I committed myself to Lord, I will spend time early in the mornings. I never want to lose this burning desire inside me. Never again. But after a while, this encounter slowly slid in away. And I went back into my regular daily life and soon forgot of that burning desire inside me. Has that happened to you? Maybe you sit here this morning and it has happened to you. And then suddenly weeks after, since you've picked up a Bible, you go to church and it just becomes a ritual to you. A thing to do. Because people will ask, why am I not coming to church? I just do it for the ritual. That was me. When we get so busy in our lives, the fire of God starts to dwindle. You see, God is on fire for you. Are you on fire for Him this morning? Jesus told His disciples, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning in Luke 12:35. What you need right now is an infilling, a baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fire. So you can burn for God, so the enemy cannot get your hands. It's that flock that flies. However he's going to burn in hell, just imagine how tough it's going to be for him, because he cannot come close to the fire of God. He won't have his hands on you, so that depression, that oppression, that sickness, that anger will just disappear. Are you sitting here this morning, you've lost your fire for God, or maybe not being baptized even, never received the fire? This is the reason, keeping our hearts from rekindling that flame, from a burning desire for God. You see, God says it's time for you to reevaluate what's important in your life. We easily find time for the things that's important in our lives, but not so eagerly when it comes to the things of God. God wants us to become a flaming servant of His fire. You see, God doesn't want you to be sitting with His fire and just tell everyone how amazing it is. You need to share that fire of God. You see, we have to set this world alight. We need to set this area, this South Africa, we need to set it alight for God. And the time is right now. People are hungry. People are hungry. We do not to be found among those mentioned in Matthew 24:12. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Their fire has gone out. You see, the fire of the church has gone out. We need to repent and get back. And in Jude 21, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God, in that burning desire, that flame of God, that flame of love. You see, it takes more than a busy church, evangelical church, a church of outreach, organizing all those things to make an impact in the community. It's only a church that is set on fire and led by fire, a leader who's ablaze by God. That's a church that's on fire. You see, when we became newborn, we are born to burn for Jesus. When we became newborn, the day you give your life to, that's the day you were born newly to burn for Jesus. Jesus was the one who birthed the church with fire. You see, when you allow God to set your heart on fire, He consumes you from the inside out. And your heart becomes alive with a burning desire of love. I remember I had so much anger, especially my 31 years in the police. I had so much anger in me. I hated so many criminals and I had so much hate. And when this happened to me, the fire that came in, I just have love. You can't explain it. When this happens, you just know one thing, you're not able to contain it. So if you sit here and you are selfish with the love of God, you need the fire to make you unselfish this morning. You will want more of Him, more of His presence, more of His fire. And it will feel like your heart is going to burst open in excitement. That's what happened with the fire. Luke 24:32 said, didn't our hearts burn with the flames of holy passion while we walked beside Jesus? He unveiled for us such profound revelations from the scripture. Verse 33, it says, then they left at once and hurried back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples. They had their hearts ablaze on fire by the word of God. They were a testimony. See, they didn't waste time, not a minute, to tell the others the good news that Jesus was resurrected. Jesus was alive. If you want the same experience this morning, this burning sensation of the Holy Spirit, you need to put Jesus at the center of your life this morning. You see, many people are Christians. Many people have been saved, but so little really have the flame. You see, is Jesus really the center? Then if Mossy will come today and say, listen, you can't go home today. I know there's some food, but we need to go on an outreach now. There's 1,000 people that needs to be fed. We will be back maybe on Wednesday. That's an example. How many will have excuses? You see, you will not waste any time. When your hearts are set on fire for Jesus, you won't be able to keep it to yourself. You will serve others. This is what the fire does. You have the burning sensation to serve other people. So we need to be the hands, the feet of Jesus in this world. So let God set your heart on fire this morning. When we follow Christ's example and serve the people, you will see God's love in action. And this action will stir up your heart. This action will stir up wells of fire within you that will just bubble up. You won't be able to contain it. Focus on being Christ-centered and allow His fire to displace the I, the me, myself today. That's what the fire needs to take out of the way. Then and then only can Jesus fill your heart and set it on fire. Be intentional. God loves children that are intentional. Be intentional about setting your heart and mind on the things above. Remember the joy of being in the presence of God. Then you've tasted and seen that God is good, as it's written in the Psalms. Allow the fire of God to refine you this morning and destroy everything in your life that is hiding the image of God. You see, this is what this thing does. It's hiding the image of God that's imprinted in your heart. It comes and it hides it, and the fire will uncover it this morning. The fire that will transform you so the beauty of Jesus can become evident in your lives. The goal of baptism in the Holy Spirit is to transform us into the exact image of Jesus. You will have the desire to become more and more like Jesus. There's a promise today. If you allow the fire of God in your life, you will gain speed, momentum, and acceleration in your spiritual life. You will not be able to stop it or contain it. Can I ask the question this morning? Are you ready? Maybe first this morning, before we stand up and we pray, if you can just close your eyes this morning. Just close your eyes this morning. Forget about your husband, your boyfriend, your child. Forget about anybody next to you. And just think on you. Am I on fire for God this morning? Have I given my life? Have I placed myself onto that altar as the perfect offering to say, Lord, send your fire. Burn away all these unwanted things in my life. Am I ready for it this morning? Then I want to declare this morning the fire of God onto this place. Let's just rise up this morning. And for those who want, you can rise up and stand up with me this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this, Jesus. Lord, just send your fire now. Your people are hungry. Your children are in despair. Your children are in need this morning. Lord, we're in a place where we feel hopeless. We need your fire. We need a new, fresh impartation, a baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning, Lord. Lord, we come and we declare this morning the fire of the Lord into this place. Father, release that fire over every area of our lives this morning. Surge deep into our hearts, that dark places, that cracks. Let your fire run through every dark place in our lives this morning. So the enemy will always be defeated in our lives, Lord. Let your fire destroy the strongholds of the enemy this morning. Jesus, forgive us for letting the fire grow cold. Lord, forgive us for not allowing you to baptize us with the fire. Forgive us for being lukewarm. Forgive us for not being baptized, Lord. Father, we pray and we believe this morning for a fresh wave of fire of the Holy Spirit in this place this morning, Lord. Father, in Romans 12:11, it says, your command, us to be fervent in spirit, to boil like hot liquid and to glow like hot metal. Ignite our hearts this morning. We open our hearts and we say, Lord, your fire, ignite us this morning. Consume us from the inside out this morning, Lord. It is my desire, Lord, and your desire this morning to let our hearts come alive with your desires. Father, our only desire needs to be today to abide in your holiness, to be there, here in the fire of love this morning with you. Your passion, your compassion, just bestow it on your children this morning. Father, fasten us upon your heart as a seal of fire forevermore. Let the living, consuming fire seal each one of us this morning, Lord, as your prisoner of love. Your passion is stronger than the chains of death, Lord, and the grave. Your love is all-consuming as the very flashes of fire burning from your heart. Let me be overwhelmed this morning by the passion and love of you, Lord, that you won't be able, we won't be able. I don't want to even contain it, Lord. We want more of you, Lord. Jesus, we want more of you this morning. We want more of the Spirit. We need the fire in this church this morning, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for sending the fire. We want more of your character, more of your presence, more of your fire, more of your fire. We declare your throne, O Lord, is like a fiery flame in Daniel 7. You are the God that answers by fire in 1 Kings 18. A fire goes before you, O Lord, and burns up your enemies according to the Psalms. Make us ministers of fire this morning. Deliver us from your fire, Lord. Lord, release your fire and burn up the works of darkness this morning. Baptize me with the Holy Ghost of fire this morning, according to Luke 3:16, Lord. We pray that the Holy Spirit of fire might come upon this place, Lord Jesus. Baptize us now in the fire. I receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit right now by the faith of your word, Lord. Bestow unto us a fresh anointing of your glory and power that comes upon us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. for this baptism in the Holy Spirit this morning. We decree and declare that the fire of God starts moving through this building, touching and setting hearts on fire to consume all things hidden, to cleanse and to expose it. As the fire of God licks up the stubble and the chaff in our lives, we are consumed by your flame, Lord. So the roots of the enemy will rot and be scattered like dust. Let your fire burn in our eyes. Let it burn in our hearts, in our belly, our mouth, and our feet this morning, Lord. Let your fire be in our tongues to preach and prophesy in Jesus' name. And Lord, let your fire this morning be the testimony of the truth. And we receive it. We even receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of tongues, the gift of prophecy this morning in the wonderful name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let your fire rain down on us, Lord. Let your fire just come. Lord, just consume us this morning. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord says, it's time, my son, my daughter, don't miss this opportunity this morning. Open your heart. Open your heart for me this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your blaze, for your that the fact that you ignite the fire of the church and where we are today. Thank you for dying on the cross, even shedding your fury blood. Thank you for that. Lord, I want to thank you this morning by ending up now. Lord, for everyone that were baptized this morning that received the fire of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm praying right now for your protection over them as well. Because the moment we carry the fire of God, we become an open target for the enemy. And we come this morning and we make vow that all the plans of the enemy, Lord, will not prosper against anyone this morning, Lord. That you will have your archangels with swords of fire surrounding your children this morning. Lord, and as we walk, we will walk in your fire. And the enemy we know don't have a grip. He can't come near to this fire. And Lord, that the reason for that is want to make an impact in the community of this church. We want to make an impact in the Midvale, in Gauteng, in South Africa, across the borders, Lord. We want to make an impact. And therefore, we need to be equipped with the fire of the Holy Spirit this morning. And Lord, we just come this morning and we just honor you. We praise you. What an amazing King you are. The King of Kings. The Father of Fathers. Thank you for the amazing, good Father that you are to us. We just submit ourselves now to you, Lord. As it's written in James 4:7, submit you to God. Resist the devil and he must flee. And we proclaim that this morning in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.